Hello and welcome to another edition of the Blue Toon Podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You canna beat the scran doing it, Marcos. I'm Colin Byers and joining me still at a very safe distance is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good, good. Right, so this week we'll be looking at the continued saga of the SPFL reconstruction and how that will affect Peterhead. We'll look at our team of the season, as well as we might have a look at who might be staying, who might be going for next season. But first off, hope you're all still well. We are sort of 7 to 8 weeks now into this lockdown. The weather has been particularly good, which hasn't made the lockdown any easier for anybody. But all we can say is if you just keep doing the right things, keep staying at home as much as possible, and surely we'll get through this sooner rather than later. It is difficult, as we said, but the best that we can do at the moment is just stay at home, stay safe, and try and look after each other as much as possible. So with that then, Martin, how are you coping with this now? It's stretching out a bit now.
Yeah, like you said, it's been about 6 or 7 weeks. It's not getting any easier, but you've just hit the nail on the head there yourself. We've got to try and stay home as much as possible and try and stay safe.
That's exactly it. It's difficult. As we've said previously, we'd like to be deep if the government tells us, but in these times, I think it's the only option we've got. We just have to keep doing it, I'm afraid.
Unfortunately so.
Yeah. So, since we last recorded, the SPFL reconstruction meetings have kicked in. The biggest thing that it's come out with it so far was some of the League Two sides coming out and saying that they, along with all 10 in League Two, are in favour of a proposed 14-14-14 structure. Now, that obviously would mean that we're looking at the status quo of 42 teams and not the promotion of Brora and Kelty Hearts, which we all assumed would be the case. And we all thought it was going to be 14-10-10-10. So the League Two teams have all stuck in together, it would seem. Do you sympathise with their viewpoint? Do you understand where they're coming from?
Yeah, to an extent. I think it is harsh on Kelly and Brora not to come up. I've said before that although in this crisis this is maybe a good time for Scottish football to sort of look at itself and maybe re-energise in a way of introducing new teams. It's not often that happens, so I think now would be a time to do it. I can understand the League Two teams' positions, but I do think it would be harsh on Kelly and Brora not to get introduced to the second division, to League Two, sorry.
We're of the understanding, and it's been made quite clear that as part of this reconstruction that no team should be any worse off than they are at the moment, whether it be financially or in the level they're at. So from a Peterhead point of view then, they have gone from competing in what would be currently the third tier to another sort of third tier. However, this time it's the bottom tier. So when people say, "Well, you're still playing in the third tier," yes, it's the third tier. However, if for whatever reason Peterhead have won a really bad season, one season, they could end up back in the Highland League. Whereas at the moment, if they have a bad season, then they obviously go down to League Two. So that safety net suddenly disappears.
Yeah, I think that we kind of, the SFA when I decide in terms of like that team can I get relegated, that team can't. But if they do have one tier at the bottom that's slightly larger, I do feel somewhere, however it works, there maybe has to be some sort of protection for clubs. And I'm not saying that teams would be exempt from relegation, but as you said, if they're going to be in the bottom tier, is there a financial package that could work evidently, if you finish fifth in League One, you're only going to get the same money as if you would finish in fifth in League Two. So if there was some sort of compromise, or maybe saying this is going to be the league for the next 2 years, but there's not going to be a relegation for League Two, is that something that could work to try and get the leagues back to some sort of normality, is what if we're calling normality, back to the 12 in the Premier League and 10 throughout?
Yeah,
there's maybe something to look into months down the line.
We think that this reconstruction is for one season only. So, presumably, if it's 14-14-14 for this season, for whatever reason, it will inevitably switch back. So, you might have the 10 joining the bottom four in League One, then breaking back again into their own little league again. It's a strange scenario just to have a reconstruction for one season. But then it's the whole Scottish football is unusual anyway.
Yeah, I think, as you said, if there was four teams, you could almost say like a four team promoted from League Two. I think that for one season is maybe not an attractive proposition, but it's certainly one that you could almost try and compromise and live with if you are thinking, right, there's four teams. You could maybe have it three automatically, one through a playoff, whatever they like to do it. I think that would be more attractive rather than one straight up automatically.
I think Clyde have obviously been quite vocal. They've put a statement quite sharpish, and it's not often we'd agree with Clyde, but I think their statement was pretty spot on. The argument, I think, is that if this reconstruction had been taking place for next season, as in the following season, not the season that's waiting to come up, I don't think anybody would sort of argue. Whereas you've started this campaign, the 19-20 season, of the understanding that the leagues would be 12-10-10-10. So you're vying for a position to either go into a playoff, or you're going to be in a playoff for a relegation or relegation spot. So you know what's coming. Whereas this has just sort of been thrust upon teams without really knowing what's going to be happening. I mean, from Peterhead's standpoint, they got promoted last season. Their aspiration, I guess, was to stay up, which they've done through the league. But yet, we could be in a scenario where we're still playing the bottom tier.
I see exactly what you're saying, and probably a lot of people would agree. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I just think in this situation, when there is so many clubs involved, I think trying to please everybody is going to be nigh on impossible. Yeah. So you're trying to look for that best outcome. And I think if they were to have a bottom tier of 16 teams with, arguments sake, four promoted, I think that might be the best solution to come out of it.
Yeah. You spotted something earlier on today that it could be a 14-14-16.
Yeah.
So, presumably, we would then have Celtic Hearts and Brora join us. I think everybody's in agreement that they should. How they get there is up to the lawmakers, but I think everybody agrees that they should be there.
I think this was a proposal that was going to be put forward on Thursday.
Okay.
Regarding the two 14s and the 16. How that will go down, I don't know. I think it is up for debate on Thursday, whether that is a proposal that they'll try and put through or whether it's just up for a general discussion. But I think if Kilty and Brora did come up, I don't think much people would have any complaints with it.
Is it a case maybe the League Two teams are, they're obviously looking after their own self-interest? I mean, that's, everybody would be doing that. All 42 teams are looking after their own self-interest. But is it a case maybe the League Two teams thinking that Kilty are going to be well backed financially, and Brora will probably be well backed as well, are probably going to end up competing at the higher end, like what Cove have done, what Edinburgh have done in the last few seasons?
Yeah, I think there is, you see that in the leagues, there is financial differences. You could argue the same with Raith and Falkirk in our division. But that doesn't necessarily get you success. Again, that Cove Rangers have done pretty well with it, but just because they've got money behind them does it actually guarantee success in the park?
No. And it's strange that Cove, if, I mean, nothing's really been sort of set in stone yet. Nothing's been sort of confirmed by the SPFL. We're just going by various League Two teams' statements. But if Cove are in agreement with this, it's a strange one for them because they've been promoted, they've won the league, rightly, but then next season they're still going to be playing the same teams. It's a strange one.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens on Thursday with the SFA meeting, but I think there will be teams that you would imagine if this was a proposal to go through, there would be statements coming out over the weekend disagreeing with it quite strongly. But again, I go back to there's 42 teams to try and please everybody is going to be nigh on impossible.
So from a Peterhead standpoint then, this potentially could scupper our Jim's plans for next season. We all know that currently all the players are out on for loan, much like the rest of the staff, it's there as well. At this time of the year, this time of the season probably would have been ended. He would be looking at talking to the players about signing contracts for next season. That's all out the window at the moment.
Yeah. I think he'll have an idea. I mean, when did the football stop? What was it? Beginning of March?
13th of March, I think was when it finished, yeah.
But, you know, I think by then he would have had a good idea of which players he'd have been looking to keep for the following season. Whether his plans have changed somewhat in that time, who knows? But I think he would have had an idea come the 13th of March who'd have been keeping.
And it'd be interesting to know as well if he's actually even got a budget yet, or if he's been given a budget to even contemplate who he wants to keep and who he wants to stay. Because at the end of the day, these players might not even be considering even signing contracts yet until they know exactly where they're going to be playing, as in which league structure they're going to be playing.
Yeah, I think it's a vicious cycle because the club won't, I'd imagine, give a budget until they know which division they're in, which means Jim can't plan for whatever division we may be in. So it's quite crucial that this reconstruction is sorted out as quickly as possible for the teams who are, you know, Peterhead is financially well managed, but there is teams in League 1 and League 2 who may be struggling and you'd like to get the situation rectified as soon as possible.
And it's not just about the players he's got at the moment, it's possibly the players that he would have been looking to attract. Suddenly from playing one league below the Championship and effectively playing against a slightly better opposition, shall we say, if this does go through and Peterhead do slip into the bottom tier again, he might not get the players that he was potentially looking at.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I do think what would go in Jim's favour is he seems to get players in that you wouldn't necessarily think they would sign for a League One club. You know, we've seen that in the January transfer window, a couple of signings. We thought, you know, we're pleasantly surprised that we've got him at Peterhead. But it just shows you the power that Jim has. He's able to try and convince players that Peterhead's a good club to if you get a good season, we've spoken about this before, if a player has a good season, they can go on to use Peterhead like a stepping stone almost.
Yeah.
So that might be the case in League Two as well, that he can still encourage players to come on the basis of, we give you a year's contract. If you play well, you may get a move to a bigger club.
There's been a criticism before about Peterhead not putting out statements, but we've said before Peterhead will only put out statements as and when is deemed necessary, and if there's something to actually discuss. Jim has been on the website a couple of times in the last few days. He's been very vocal about the 14-14-14. He's dead against it. I've got one quote here that says he's not going to stand by and see the team being thrown under the bus just to safeguard others. I guess Jim, unfortunately for him, is because he's a manager of Peterhead, his opinion probably isn't going to be taken on board that well by the teams higher up.
Yeah, No, I think if it was a, if it was that strong a statement that came out for a Premier League team, it would be well across the social media platforms. It would be on the news and everything.
Yeah.
But like you said, because it's come from a peer head manager, there's less publicity and weight behind it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. Maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we might have something a bit more concrete. But I'd wait with bated breath, shall we say, with that one, and see what's going to be happening with that. So the season has ended, not the way we would have hoped, but we're going to go through now with our team of the season. We're going to go with, I think we said we were going to go with a 4-4-5-1, 4-1-4-1 formation, which is the one that Jim has favoured this season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily ones that we would have chosen, but that's what he's going with, so that's what we'll go with. So we'll start with in goal. I don't think we've got any great arguments with saying that Greg Fleming's our pick.
Yeah, I think that was a shoo-in, to be honest.
I think that was the one. It was definitely a shoo-in. Ever-present, he's played every game. 33 appearances. We have been critical of him a couple of times, though, this season.
Yeah. It's some of the games where we've struggled defensively has been through an error through Greg Fleming, but there has been times where we have also praised him really well as well.
Yeah.
It really is a case where the keeper will come under more scrutiny than most, because normally if the keeper makes a mistake, it'll lead to a goal. But on the flip side, Greg has made a couple of really good saves, and his penalties record is really good as well.
And there are times as well that he we've probably lost games, but we could have lost them by more goals if it wasn't for him on a few occasions.
Yeah, absolutely. There has been games where he has sort of kept the scoreline down, thankfully. But on the flip side, he has cost us as well. So I guess over the season, it sort of would balance out. But yeah, a very good goalkeeper, in my opinion.
And we'll start with the defence. We'll start at left back, because I think this is another one that's pretty much a shoe-in. We've gone with Paddy Boyle.
Yeah, very consistent. He's got a really good left foot. Maybe I sound like a weird statement to say, but any time he crosses the ball, it looks so effortless. 9 out of 10 gets the person he's needing on the end of it. But I think he's a really good left back that we've got.
And another guy who played 30 games for a guy his age as well. He was dropped for the Challenge Cup game onto the bench, and he missed a couple of games. One game, I think it must have been through injury. But he just gives... he's very consistent. He's up and down that left-hand side like a 20-year-old. And he's so good. He just makes it look so effortless.
Yeah, and I think that's why he is such a good left back, because he makes it look effortlessly going up and doing the part, which isn't an easy task. You know, we're watching it at the sideline. We've often commented how quick he can get up and support the attack, but also when we're caught out at the back, he seems to be the player that's there, sort of covering Rooney at the back of the left and tidying things up.
So alongside him, we're going to go with our first centre back. Centre backs, it was probably slightly more tricky picking two out of four, I guess. Jason Brown, Cammy Eddie, Scott Hooper, and David Ferguson have all played some kind of part. But we're first choice is Jason Brown.
Yes.
Jason, again, pretty consistent. 29 appearances, 29 starts, I should say, and three off the bench. So he's a guy who is always there, very consistent. Rarely gets injured, and is pretty reliable, shall we say.
Yeah, I think he's got that presence at the back that he needs a centre half. Looks quite assured most of the time. I think when we're struggling in games, he maybe gets caught out slightly positionally wise. But I think, yeah, overall, 9 out of 10, a really good solid defender.
And what might be surprising to everybody is that he only had 8 yellow cards this season.
It surprised me when I seen it, because I generally thought he'd quite a lot more.
I think he gets a reputation of just getting one per game. But no, he only got the 8 this season. And he got a goal as well, so must be playing at a higher level, must have brought it to him.
Yeah, that's maybe true.
So alongside him, we've gone with Hooper, new signing obviously this season. But I think the partnership between Hooper and Jason Brown in particular has been pretty effective.
Yeah, I thought to begin with didn't start off the best. There are a couple of moments where it looked a bit shaky, but I think that was just the initial bedding in period, getting to know each other's game. But I think after the first 6 to 8 weeks, they've looked really good together.
And he looks good either at centre half or at right back. So we could have shoehorned him into right back to get somebody else in there. But I think just that partnership between the two of them is pretty solid. It looks good. So hopefully that continues on to next season. The problem position that we had, I think, when we look at it, was who was playing at right back, because throughout the season there had been about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 different people have played at right back, because there's no sort of natural right back there. We've had Camuidi there, we've had Hooper there, Jason Brown was there, Stevenson was there. But I think Jason Brown as well. So there's different combinations. There was even a back three at one point as well. But we've gone with the ever consistent Jamie Stevenson.
Yeah, a player that I think is really consistent, whether he's playing on the right hand side of midfield, right back, or even if he's put left back, left midfield. I think he's a very solid and reliable player. Yeah, and gives a very good account of himself.
I think what was interesting for Stevenson was that he didn't seem to be first choice at the beginning of the season. But as obviously as the season kind of progresses, the more appearances he got, the more games he got, and he seemed to sort of nail in that either right wing position or that right back position. So it just shows that, you know, if you knuckle down, sometimes that even if you're not first choice at the start of the season, you could end up being first choice at the end of the season.
Yeah, he sort of forced his way in, but did not get injured shortly after getting into the first team squad as well.
I seem to remember he got injured in the Challenge Cup game early on, and I think he got injured again in the one of the other cup games as well at the beginning of the season. So that obviously maybe hadn't worked, obviously didn't work in his favour, but he's certainly come back from it.
Yeah, like you said, he's a very reliable player. It was just unfortunate that he got injured at the time he did, because he just sort of started to make that right back his own. Because as you said, there have been a few players that played at right back, and I think Jamie at that point was sort of making a claim for himself before he got injured.
Yeah, so that's our back four. Then we've got Stevenson, Hooper, Jason Brown and Paddy Boyle. So into midfield, the holding midfield role, the Makalele role, shall we say, can only go to one man, and that's Simon Ferry.
Yep, we're completely agreed on this one. Arguably, probably our best player that we've got on the team. Very, very assured. He sort of controls things just in front of that defence as well, and we are a much better team with Simon in it than we are without.
I think we mentioned before one of the previous episodes about the games that we've won with him, and then we seem to lose more when he's not in the team. The times that we've lost has generally been on the plastic pitches, which obviously we know he doesn't play in plastic pitches very often, although he has done more so this season. He is very vocal, as you said. You hear him constantly throughout the game. Anybody who watches or listens to him on his Open Goal podcast will know he does like to talk. But it's not just talking for the sake of talking. He's sort of he's coaching his players through the game. He's helping them through. He's not just shouting at anybody just for the sake of it. It's positive criticism he's given the players.
Yeah, we've often heard at Balmer Simon shouting at his players, and you can understand that every shout that he's doing, you can see the reasoning behind it. Like you said, he's trying to coach his teammates through the game. He's got that experience as well that he can try and help the likes of Hooper, who's just slightly behind him, to try and encourage him, and maybe ways that he can help improve the game, or just based on that match and something that Simon's maybe picked up on that Hooper hasn't seen. So yeah, a very good player, and he gives a really good account himself week in, week out.
We won't mention the negative side to his season in that Clyde game.
Yeah, I mean, that was a whole talking point all itself. We could probably do another episode on that, I think.
We'll probably still hear rumblings into that next season as well if we're still in the same leagues. But yeah, apart from that one game, I think he's been very good. And he's not going to get you any goals, but he'll certainly help out his defence, which is good because of the formation that Jim's been playing this season. It allows the four midfielders in front of him to get up and help that one striker.
Yeah, I think Simon's quite happy just sitting in front of that back four, marshalling it and letting the rest of the guys with our creative flair go forward.
I think what was it was quite amusing to us, but especially the second part of the season after Simon got his coach role, as you could hear him during the game going, "We discussed that in training, we do this, we do that." And you just think to yourself, yep, that just sounds like the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah, well, you could probably see he gets annoyed with his teammates just as much as probably Jim gets annoyed with them as well. If they've gone through something in training and it's not quite worked out, that's the frustrating side of the game.
So in front of him then, we've got midfield four. And it's probably not going to be any surprise that the first one would be the captain, or the new captain, Scott Brown.
No, absolutely. Again, the midfield we've spoken about sort of writes itself, but Brown in the team, a bit like Simon Ferry, is a much better one than when we don't have him, and obviously his goals as well has been a huge part of his game this season as well.
Yeah, eight goals and 32 appearances is not too shabby for a midfielder. But when you say it like that, he is actually the top goal scorer for the team.
Yeah, which is probably the part of our downfall over the course of the season, that we're midfielder as our top goal scorer.
Yeah. But Brown, up and down, box to box, old fashioned kind of box to box midfielder. You know what you're going to get from him. Yes, he was appointed the new captain after McAllister left, but he's not going to be the most vocal. I think that would be left to Ferry. What Brown will give you is a performance, and he takes the game by the scruff of the neck in terms of his performance. If he feels he needs to up his tempo, up his performance, he will do that. And the players around about him will then reinvigorate themselves and bring up their performance levels as well.
Yeah, we don't often see Brown Dean are the shouting and marching about the pitch, but when you do see him, is a very solid performance. Mace Weeks, he'll give you 8 out of 10. 9 out of 10 even. He's a very good, consistent performer, and he sets that example by, if he's going to set his levels to a certain standard, he expects his teammates to follow suit and raise their game if they're below par.
And if he's sticking around for next season, you would like to obviously see him continue on with the captain's armband.
Oh yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, I think the fact that he's got it now says to me that that was probably a thought in the back of Jim's mind that he would be the captain for next season as well.
So alongside him then, we're going to have another new signing for this season. It was Gary Fraser. Gary, although he's in our team, has been pretty much in and out of the side in the second half of the season.
Now that we've named the three, I think that three of Brown, Ferry and Fraser is a very good three for midfield. Consistent performers, I think that's the key thing for me. The ball give you a certain level that of expectation. Gary struggled, I think, the first couple of months when he first signed. I think match fitness was the key issue. But once he got over that, about end of September into October, we started to see the real Gary coming forward with real good performances.
29 appearances in all, 9 of those were off the bench, but chipped in with a couple of goals as well.
Yeah, and obviously we've mentioned before that goals was what Achilles' heel this season. We weren't really getting that for our strikers, so the fact that the midfield have been able to chip in has probably helped us when the season finished to be out of the relegation zone.
And one thing you would get from Gary is a bit of aggression, and I don't mean that in he's going around flying into tackles, but he's in the opposition's face, and he's almost doing the job of two people, whereas we've got Scott Brown who will do the box-to-box stuff. Ferry will break up the opposition's attacks. Fraser can do both of those kind of jobs. He could quite happily get in the tackles, but he's quite happy to get forward as well.
Yeah, I think the fact that he can adapt his game, whether you're playing a game at home against Clyde or a game at home against, away to Falkirk, they're different sort of games, and Gary's able to change his game to suit what sort of match we're playing in, which I think is a massive bonus for us.
On the wide areas then, we've got another consistent performer. Did miss a bit of the early part of the season, is Jack Leach.
Yeah, well, it was one position that I did think was a bit of concern on the team that we've got, because obviously said Leach had been out for quite a while. Was it seven, 8 weeks he was out?
Yeah.
Before Christmas, but when he does play, he is quite a creative player. He does try to make things happen. He does look to try and do that something different. You know, you're maybe expecting a certain type of pass, and he'll go and do the opposite. A good player. Just unfortunate he got injured. You never know if it could have happened. If we hit him in the squad, might have gotten more goals. Might have been slightly higher up table. Ifs and buts, but a very good player.
And for somebody who missed a good bit of the season as well, he still played 29 times, which just shows you how much Jim likes him and respects him and has faith in him.
Yeah, I think Jack's one of them players, if he's fit and ready to go, he's going to be in the squad. And it was just unfortunate he got injured when he did, because I thought he was coming on a bit of a game then. We weren't playing great as a team, but there were certain individuals that were just starting to get into their rhythm for the season, and Jack was one of them until he got injured.
We've mentioned before as well, throughout the season as well, that the new formation that Jim's been playing maybe hasn't been to Jack's liking or playing to his strength, because you prefer him to play maybe in that number 10 role behind the front two or just behind a front striker. He's been playing wide left or wide right, but he doesn't grumble, he doesn't make any excuses, he just gets on with it.
Yeah, we've commented before that we personally think that Jack's best position is in behind a striker or two strikers, but the fact that he does seem to play on the wing, he does like to come inside. Again, sometimes that affects the formation slightly. But he's quite a creative player. I think some folk didn't give him the credit he deserves. I think he is a very creative player, actually. He will try and unlock defences. Whether our strikers have been able to help him in that situation, I think it's a different story, but I think he's a very good player because he's quite creative.
I think he's very underrated. He's one of the very biggest underrated players in the lower leagues. And I think if you could get a full season out of him, he would do well, I would say, the Championship.
Yeah, he's certainly got that quality. That's why I quite like Jack. And it is unfortunate, I keep going back to it, but it's unfortunate he missed 7-8 weeks of the season,
yeah,
because he's a very good player, and I think we'd have been better off had we had him playing in them games.
So on the other side then, we've got Ryan Conroy. Again, another one who's been fairly steadfast. You know what you're going to get with Ryan.
Yeah, he's not set the head of the light, so to speak, but I think he's a very consistent. You can't figure out what you're going to get. He's going to work hard. He's going to try and make things happen. Sometimes think that the weakness is he comes inside too often, and then we lose that width, whether that's because he tries to play on his stronger left foot more often than not. Sometimes it's been to our detriment, but yeah, a good player. If he was able to get a couple more goals, I think that would be the difference between being a good player and a really good player in this division.
Yeah, filled in for Paddy Boyle on a couple of occasions at left back as well, and did well. For a new signing, 17 appearances, 17 starts, another 7 off the bench. Again, another guy who got a couple of goals as well.
Yeah, and again, it's just as well we're midfield, the chip thing, because we've spoken before, we're strikers, we've kind of exactly been banging in the goal, so it's good that we've got the guys, Brown, Leach and Fraser, Conroy, that have been able to chip in a few goals to help us out.
So we're last player out of our 11, obviously he's going to be a striker. Our choices were obviously Ben Armour, Derek Lyle, Aidan Smith, and Stephen Boyd. We could have possibly had Smith instead of Conroy. That was one of the ones that we kind of discussed.
Yeah.
Because Smith, for most part of the season, did play left midfield.
Yeah. I raved about Smith for a good 4, 5, 6 weeks, and I was convinced that if he got a goal or a couple of good performances, he would go and then kick on. Didn't really materialise. He got into positions where you feel he could have done better, or the decision-making wasn't quite right. I think that was one of the things which sort of led me to sway going with Conroy, because he's more consistent.
Yeah.
And again, that's the same for the striker position. We could have had Smith in there, but again, the consistency level, just for me at this moment in time, isn't quite there.
Once, towards the end of the season, though, he did play in a forward role, either alongside Armour or on his own, or alongside Lyle. So there is a bit of versatility there, and I think you said as well that he just needs that one goal or that one performance.
Yeah, again, that's another weird one I've got, because I'm still not convinced if his best position is out on the wings or whether it be up front. There hasn't been that performance strung together, you could say, right, okay, I think that would be his best position. Again, it may be just as a confidence thing, he maybe just needs a goal or a couple of real good performances, just maybe a break, a bit of luck to go his way. I think he's a good player, I think there is a player in him, but we just maybe haven't seen the best of him this season.
We've said a couple of times when we've been to games, he's got the beating of, or certainly at the beginning of the season, he had the beating of the majority of fullbacks when he was playing. So he just needs to find that bit of form that he had at the beginning of the season and maybe take that through the rest of the into next season. But if you look at his playing stats, he started 15 games and made 14 off the bench. So was that a case that maybe Jim wasn't really sort of sure of him and wanted to play the more sort of reliable Leach and Conroy instead?
I think Leach and Conroy, as we're talking about, they give you a certain level of consistency. And the way I describe it is you're almost guaranteed for Conroy and Leach to get a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. Whereas I think with Smith, you might get games where he'll play really well, create chances, look hungry for it, and he'll give you an 8 out of 10, but then the following week they maybe give you that 6 out of 10, but drifting in and out of the game, started, you didn't really notice him there, and as often as you would in the previous game, and I think the consistency level is maybe a reason why Jim sort of had him in and out of the squad and preferred Murphy, Conroy and Leach.
So we're striker then. We've gone with the evergreen Derek Lyle.
Yes. Again, just based on my my thoughts, is just based on the goals. He's got 6 goals. He will try and lead that line. He's not getting any younger, but in the games he has played, especially since the departure of Rory McAllister, he has looked really good and led the line quite effectively.
And for a guy that, as you said, once McAllister left, was primarily the number one choice. For a guy who's at 38, 39 now, he's very, very fit. He's still got a spring on him and obviously still hitting the back of the net.
Yeah, crucially for me, he looks hungry for it as well. Some players are coming towards the end of their career in certain football teams. They're on the park, but they don't really look interested. They're sort of just sauntering about the game. Whereas I think Derek Lyle is really keen. He always gives you a performance that you can be proud of.
Yeah. The other choice is obviously Armour. Probably, if he hadn't been playing so much off the bench, he probably would have been in with a shout, particularly for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I like Ben Armour. He's a good player. It's maybe just unfortunate the formation that Jim plays as well. That the start of the season, you had McAllister and Lyle. If you'd only played one up top, naturally you'd think one would be in the team, the other one would be on the bench, and they would sort of rotate. If it was two, you would think Smith and Armour would be coming on more regularly. Isn't it quite happened for any of the two of them? But I think if Armour is here next year, that would be a year that he can maybe try and kick on and make that striker position more of his own.
And Stephen Boyd, only got the 6 appearances, 3 off the bench. I don't think we really saw the best of him yet. There was the game against Forfar, I think, at home. He looked really good, but I don't think we've actually seen the best of him yet.
No, like you said, only been a handful of games. Difficult to come into a squad halfway through and try and gel as quick. But the games he has played, I think he has looked really good.
Yeah, so that's where Team of the Year, the Blue Team Podcast Team of the Year, Fleming, Boyle, Stevenson, Jason Brown, Hooper, Ferry, Scott Brown, Leach, Fraser, Conroy, and Derek Lyle. Pretty consistent team. I think if we could get them all again next season, we'd be doing well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a good team. There's been certain parts of the season where unfortunately players have been on the park for one reason or another, but I think if you had the vast majority of the season with that team, you'd have a really good team.
So looking at the contract situations then, we touched on earlier on, maybe we'll have to kind of wait and see what league we're going to be playing in. But Jim in an interview recently has said that currently only Cook, Ferry, Smith and Boyd are signed up for next season, which may sound shocking and a bit kind of we've got 4 players. Having said that, normally at this time of the season, a lot of players would be discussing the new contracts. A lot of the lower league teams operate in a 1-year deal and then see how it goes kind of thing. So I wouldn't be just too worried at the moment. Having said that, if this was 4 players and we were about 3 weeks away for the season, I think we'd be hitting the panic button slightly. But given the fact that we don't know what kind of league we're going to be in or what league structure we're going to be in, Jim probably doesn't know his budgets and everything yet. It's difficult to start opening talks with players, not just at Peterhead, but obviously at other teams as well, because obviously you get the Bosman signings as well. Everybody's on 4 loans, so it's very difficult. But let's just kind of go through the squad then at the moment. Obviously, the ones that we've mentioned were 11. We'd like them to stay.
Yeah, I think that would be right, yeah.
That would be right. So let's go top to bottom then. We'll look at Lenny Wilson. Lenny unfortunately hasn't played yet, so it's difficult to kind of critique him, but if we're looking for a backup goalkeeper, he's there already, he knows the team, he knows the players, and you'd suspect if he gets thrown in for any reason next season, he'd take his opportunity.
Yeah, I would think so. There's obviously a reason that Jim's brought him in. He's obviously got some sort of quality. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it yet, so we can't really comment. But like you said, if he was given a chance next season, I'm sure he would jump at it, take it with hands.
He has looked good in the warm-ups, though.
He hasn't conceded a goal this season. No. I mean, we can't really criticise him for anything.
No, that's right. So looking at the defence then, the players that we've got, the four that we had to choose from for our centre backs, are all young guys. Sorry, the five that we choose from, because we've got Bowling in there as well. Is that a worry then that the centre halves were all too young? Should we be looking at bringing in an experienced player?
It's difficult. I think the fact that we've got Ferry there who can marshal the back line might sway me towards thinking if you've got a young centre-half partnership with that option of if they have a good season, then, you know, if they're allowed to move on after a one-year deal, it encourages them to play well and have a good season, which in turn benefits us. If the player has an okay season, but nobody's quite interested, the chance of him biding from our season is quite high with us. Again, if you've got a player for 2 years in this division, so the lower leagues, yeah, I think helps teams as well. So I'd be more inclined at this moment in time to go for a younger centre-half partnership.
So we've got Eddie Ferguson and Bowling, obviously on loan from Aberdeen. Do you continue with them? Bowling, his contract's up. At Aberdeen, likelihood is he probably isn't going to get one, so there's an opportunity there to bring in another body for a year. A big guy, and he seemed to sort of slot in quite well in the four games that he played.
Yeah, we didn't see much of him, only the four games, but he did look really good. As you said, he's a heck of a size of lad. So I think him at the back with Brown, if you've got Hooper as well, if you've got the three of them sort of interchanging, if there's any injuries or suspensions, I think that would be a good back three.
It's unfortunate, I guess, that two of his four games were against Falkirk and Raith Rovers.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't a help, but I still think that in the four games he did play, he did look a good player.
Yeah. So we're going to stick with Bowling, Ferguson and Edie. Do we keep them both as well?
Edie's a strange one for me because he's played a few games for us, but he's nae inward team of the year. That's nae to say he's nae a good player. But if there was, and this is only my opinion, if there was one player for the back line that you could say could go, if we're bringing in Bowling, in my opinion, I would maybe say it would be Cameron Edie to go.
It's a strange, as you said, for Edie. He had 16 starts, which is more than what Ferguson had, and I think we probably considered Ferguson ahead of Edie.
Yeah.
But Edie played every game of the Betfred Cup for a start. I think he had like 7 or 8 games in a row at the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden he was out of the team. Ferguson was brought in, and there was about a 2-3 month spell where he just wasn't in the team, and then all of a sudden he was brought in to play against Falkirk. So, you know, again, a young kind of guy, but, you know, does Jim see anything in him?
I think he's left about the team for so long after giving him a run in the team, like you said, 7-8 games in the Betfred Cup, and then to drop him for a couple of months and then just bring him straight back in. I think there's maybe something behind the scenes there that Nate say he doesn't trust him, but he maybe feels that there's better candidates for the position.
So in midfield then, other than the five that we named that were Team of the Year, their only options are Cook and McCarthy. Cook obviously is one of the four that's been signed up for next season, along with Ferry, Smith and Boyd. McCarthy, again, it's been a little unlucky through injury. He's only had one start, two substitute appearances. He's been quite vocal in saying that he wants to stick around. And I think, again, from the flashes that we did see from him, that there is probably a player there as well. But whether or not he's going to fit into the team with the formation that they were currently playing, with the three in midfield, the likelihood is he's not going to be first choice. However, a player of his quality might be good to have in that kind of rotation of midfielders.
Yeah, it's a strange one because we have said that we like Brown, Ferry and Fraser in midfield, but we have got a good player in McCarthy, but he's maybe willing to stick around, but is Jim going to try and shoehorn him into the team, which might upset the balance of the team? That would be my only query. I don't think he's going to try and slot him in just for the sake of it. So is he going to be happy starting on the bench and coming off and trying to work his way into the team? He might feel that he might get that opportunity, a first team game somewhere else.
And with Cook obviously signed up for next season, naturally a left winger, that obviously means that either Leitch or Conroy is not going to be sort of first choice if they again stick around as well. But if he's going to play, continue with that five again next season, you would have to then look at bringing in more midfielders because the depth there isn't there.
Yeah, it is a position that we've commented before that we're maybe slightly light if you get a couple of injuries and suspensions, but I guess that goes for the whole team. Something in the back of my head tells me that Conroy might not stick around. I don't know why. I think there is a player there. I think somebody else might take a punt them, and by that I mean maybe a championship team. I think he has got that quality in him, and if he can play with a team that suits him better, he may move on.
Yeah. So we're forward line then, as I said, we've got Armour, Lyle, Smith and Boyd. Boyd's signed up, so is Smith. Lyle and Armour, I guess we keep both of those, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
And do we then maybe look at bringing a fifth one? Because that's the key thing, because Armour got you two goals, Lyle got six, and Boyd got one in his six appearances. Smith has yet to score. The goals that McAllister left with, and by that I mean not the ones that he scored this season, because he only scored four this season, but it was obviously big shoes to fill. So do we look to bring in somebody else to try and fill those shoes?
In my opinion, yes. It's a position that we struggled even when McAllister was here at the start of the season. It didn't quite work out for him. I think overall, I know we're sitting eighth on the table from the season finished. If we cut out the defensive mistakes, which I think, given that the players are more gelling time, if you try and keep a settled team, will help. But you may get to win games if you don't score goals. And the fact that we're top goal scorer is a midfielder, I think it's quite telling. We don't get enough goals for the guys up front. So I would look to bring in another striker to be potentially first choice striker.
Yeah. And I think, as you said, the basis of a good team, a good squad, is there. It's just about building that confidence on the next season.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken many a times before when recording episodes that if we cut out the defensive mistakes, we'd have gotten something for the game, or if we cut out the defensive errors, we'd have won that game.
Yeah.
So, like you said, I think at the start of the season, we were quite optimistic that we might have been in with an outside chance at the playoffs for promotion. And then the mistakes sort of crept in more and more, and we realised that the issue is not with the team itself, it's just with that lapse of concentration or the communication not being quite what it should be. And, you know, in this sort of level, if you make a mistake, naturally you're going to get punished.
Yeah, that's it. But it'll be an interesting sort of few months anyway. to see how the whole contract situation sort themselves out. Not just obviously for Peterhead as well, but every team as well, I think, will be sort of keeping an eye on the pennies this summer window anyway, rather than what they would probably possibly normally be doing.
Yeah, I think one thing we might see is more players from the Championship maybe applying their trade in a, I'll say the division below, whatever that might be. You know, I think Championship teams as well as Premier League teams will maybe be looking to cut their wages ever so slightly given the financial situation that we could find themselves in. So it might allow us to be able to bring in a higher quality of player if they're maybe able to be, you know, kept around at their current clubs.
Yeah, it'd be interesting as well to see if these guys are being signed on for a year or if it's just a 6 month contract, because they know that they can afford to keep them for 6 months, but then the 6 months after that they're not sure because they don't know what's going to be happening. So yeah, as I said, it's going to be an interesting summer anyway, more so than normal, but we'll see what Jim's got up his sleeve in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got something planned. He normally does.
Well, I think that's it for what's turned out to be a bumper edition of the Blue Toon podcast. It's certainly it's strung out longer than we were expecting. But as we're in lockdown anyway, we've got nothing else to do. So thanks again to Martin for joining me remotely, as ever. Our thanks go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and of course to you guys as well for listening. As we said before, just keep safe, keep doing what you're doing, stay at home, and look after each other, and we'll get through this, and we'll get through it as quickly and as best as we can. And we'll try and keep keeping you entertained as much as possible as well. Cheers. Thanks very much.